red line. Go with your outfit.
Nice holiday microphone. Hey, I'm going to read something. Most of you know when I lead the meditation, I always start with the Christ in me is awake now. So I thought I would read this to reaffirm this. And it says here, it's from the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament. And it's Luke 9, 18 through 27. And it says here, you are the Christ, because the Christ of God is within you. And it is Christ that is your true self. This is the health within. This is the light that shines its healing rays throughout your mind, shining away all sickness in every form. Peace be with you, my friend, for you are the Blessed One. Put your faith with me, focused upon your reality. It is this reality we seek to remember. Do not be afraid of what must come before you are to remember. There is nothing that can hurt when your mind stays focused with me. I am your constant companion, and I lead you through all things. In unity, we see the Christ not as a person, not a person who once lived and might be coming back, although Advent in traditional churches is about the return of Jesus as the Christ. But let us use it to let us reawaken to ourselves as the Christ within. Take a breath. Let's give thanks that we have all come together this morning to know a higher light within us. And the best way I know to turn that light on within is to affirm the Christ in me is awake now. Those of you who care to, would you affirm that with me? The Christ in me is awake now. The light within me is awake now. Hope, faith is awake in me now. Radiant awareness of the good that is and the good that I am is awake in me now. Unity tells us that all the good that God is within us now. So we take this time of meditation to hear the inspiration, to remember the truth of our being as we remember the Christ in me is awake now. Let's go into the silence and see what's revealed for each and every one of us. Let's go on in. Christ in me is awake now. Life in me, joy in me, peace in me, all good in me is awake now. In this way, I may think true thoughts. I may think healing thoughts. And I may be a generous giver and receiver. So in this conscious awareness of the beginning of this season and the journey we are about to go on with one another. Let's start to bring our attention back here to this sanctuary, this place called unity. And as we come back, let us come back refreshed, renewed, fully aware of the good that has just taken place, that we may say thank you and amen. If we could welcome Maria Maringolo.
I come to sing a song about hope. I'm not inspired much right now, but even so, I came out here to sing a song, so here I go. I guess I think that if I tinker long enough, one might appear. And look, it's here. One verse is done. The work's begun. I come to sing a song about hope. In spite of everything ridiculous and sad, though I'm beyond belief, depressed, confused, and mad, well, I got dressed. I underestimated how much that would take. I didn't break until right now. I sing of hope and don't know how. So maybe I could substitute strength. I'm strong enough. I go through lots of things I didn't think I could, and so did you. I know that's true, and so I sing a song about hope. Though I can't guarantee there's something real behind it, I have to try to show myself that I can find it. And so today, when life is crazy and impossible to bear, it must be there. Fear never wins. That's what I hope. See, I said hope. The work begins. Thank you. said hope, the work begins.
Thank you. Thank you.
What was that word? Oh, hope, okay. Second, sure. You know, when Beverly was reading at the beginning, and she talked about Mary and walking, doing the long walk and everything, because of the words of the angel told her. Can you imagine what she must have thought when that angel, have you lost your mind? You know, who would trust that? What kind of a nutty angel has come to me today to say, I'm going to have a baby? Imagine any of you women here, if you got that word tonight. Remember Sarah, Abraham's wife, Sarah, at 90, got word she was going to have. Again, have you lost your mind, Mr. Angel? I'm busy. It's not possible. And then suddenly they added an H to her name, and she started a new family, and Isaac was his name, in case you didn't know. But I thought, what is this? You know, Sarah had given up hope of having a baby. I don't think Mary had any idea of such hope. You know, she was young, and still, really, this could happen now. And think, what will happen to my reputation? You know, and that really was a problem. What she had to give over for, well, giving birth to the baby Jesus, the neighbors talked. The neighbors said some things. And now here we are all these years later, and Advent, which is all about the excitement for the coming of the Christ, which is what Jesus evolved as in his mind, in his behaviors. He wasn't born the Christ. Christ means the anointed one, which that's any of us who chooses the anointing, who chooses to know and place your faith in what you know to be true, even though it's really hard. Anybody? You know, how many of us have studied this stuff for years and still somebody looks at us the wrong way, and it's like, oh, be gone, evil spirit. Edwin Gaines, those of you who have heard her before, she has taught us to, excuse me, every time we want to complain, instead say, thank you, God. Every time we want to complain, thank you, God. And I've added to that, to, I was hoping that would happen. I've told the story many times, but it bears repeating. Years ago, I had dogs. I lived here in the city, and one day, one of them pulled the leash tight, and it knocked over a glass of water onto a wooden table. Worst thing that could have happened in my house growing up. And I started to become my mother. And it hit me, no, that's not it. And I went, thank you, God, I was hoping that would happen. And I laughed. And it didn't matter anymore. It just didn't matter. So I cleaned up the water and we went and took our walk. And I wasn't mad at the dogs anymore. You know, things happen. This morning I was sharing in a group about this same story, different group. And I said, you know, I have been having some personality issues with yet another group I'm in. And somebody is rather poorly behaved. We use that word now. I used a different word earlier. And so I thought, oh, so this week I could go to that group and say, thank you for being a such and such. I was hoping you would do that. And I thought I could, maybe not to their face, but, you know, I could say it to my heart. I'm so glad this happened. It has given me an opportunity for awakening. It's given me an opportunity to remember who I really am instead of what my personality is. To remember my principles instead of my personality. And of course theirs. I don't know what their principles are, but I can see the personality and I don't care for it. But that's because I've judged it. I have decided it is somehow against me. And when that happens, my hope begins to deteriorate. My hope begins to go downstairs. And I need to hit the elevator and send it back up. My hope, because I came to unity because I heard, I stayed in unity because I heard that I was loved, whether I knew it or not. And so, just because people don't always treat you well, it's usually because they forgot who they are. And I don't want to forget who and what I am. And I don't even want to forget what the truth about the people that I judge, the people that I fear, the people that I think ought to be behaving differently, the people in the news, the people on TV, the people who run churches, the people who, well, basically anybody who doesn't agree with me. You know, I don't want to think they are less than a God being. Now I have to deal with my own thoughts and feelings about it all. But I can't afford to hate them. I just can't afford to. I can't afford to hate the people from my past. That's too rich for my blood. I have to become present and place my hope and my faith that I will awaken and I will see everybody as they really are underneath the personality. That I will see everyone in spirit. Today's talk is called, it's a good time, just in time to wake up. Just in time to wake up. Now we're in the season now, let's wake up to the season. Just in time, today, November 30th, 2025. Let's wake up to who and what we really are, because it's otherwise, if we forget too much, we might not remember, or it might take a long time to remember. It took me a lot of years to remember who and what I was. And then I've gone in and out with the memory thing. You know, I have a little forgetfulness on a daily basis, really. And it's gotten better. It's gotten so much better. Now I usually find one place to target my upset instead of a town. Or the weather. Weather doesn't upset me anymore. I have feelings about it. I have thoughts. I have preferences. But you know, carry an umbrella, which I did not do today, I'll have you know. And so to look at this, I listened to Marie Anne sing. Those Jason Robert Brown, right? Yeah, the Jason Robert Brown lyrics. And they're so lovely. And it's a little bit from now, she's going to sing a David Friedman lyric. They're both great writers. And they're all about hope. They're all about where am I placing my faith? Because that's what I learned years ago. It was in a meditation circle at Unity 58th Street, and one person said, and Olga Butterworth was leading it, and somebody said, Olga, I know that fear is the opposite of faith. And she said, oh, no. Fear is faith. It's faith in what I'm afraid of. And that was profound to me. And all these years, clearly, I've never forgotten it. But where am I placing my faith now? Am I placing my faith in the presence of life and love and divine goodness? Or am I placing my faith in the absence of it? And we can all ask ourselves today, where do I place my faith? And I will tell every single one of us here, none of us are justified to place our faith in the absence of it. When you do that, you're basing it on appearances. None of us know the underlying anything about what's going on in our world. And there's a reason for that. Our world is not reality. Spirit is reality. Love is reality. Peace and joy and wisdom, that's reality. So we need to find out how to use that. We are what God is. I've yet to hear that God is a mess. So why should I place my faith in mess? Why do that? It doesn't make me happier. It does not make me feel more secure. It does not make me more loving towards my fellow beings. It doesn't grow my hair back. You know, none of that. It's just placing my faith in the absence of good, in the absence of life. And then to start placing my faith into the presence of sickness. Because we do that. Oh, I sneezed, I must have a cold. I have one friend who read about someone's dire illness, really, this week online, and now he's concerned he might have it. And I didn't want to show him the article that our friend wrote for that reason, because my friend can look at things and suddenly have them. And it's, why place our faith there? Why look to sickness as our reality? I was taught in unity, and that's why I stayed in unity. Place your faith in God, in love. Now, within that, sickness can happen. You know, seems like everybody dies at some point, except Lazarus. You know, Lazarus, we don't know what happened to him. Once he came back, we've never heard a story that he left again. And the story is, he's come to town, Jesus has come to town to heal his good friend Lazarus. And what the scripture says is, he looked upward or heavenward and then said, Lazarus, come forth. Nowhere in the story does it say, I hope this works. No, it said, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus came forth. We don't know that he ever left again. And so, what if? What if that's the one? What if Jesus said to a few others? Some say that Jesus was so powerful in his faith in life that he had to say Lazarus, because if he hadn't, all the dead would come forth. Yeah, how about that? And we don't know. These are biblical stories. They are here to impress but inspire our faith, to inspire our hope. You know, I've taken certain healthy actions in life with the hope that I could be happy and content and joy-filled. And you know what? I can. I can be happy and content and joy-filled until I tell myself not to be. Until I see a wilting branch on a tree and say, oh, that tree is dying, and so am I. You know, I can play that game with myself, and I don't have to anymore. I can read the paper, which I don't do very often, headlines really on the internet, and say, oh, what a sorry state of we are in the world. So, have anybody read their Bible? There you go. It's always been this way. It's always been insane between political leadership and the townspeople. It's always been this way, and then it changes, and then it shifts, and the consciousness rises up, and people prosper, and they go forth, and they're having this great life until somebody else comes in and says, oh no, gotta shake you up again. Just got to shake you up and wake you up. And so they go in, and they rip their security out from under them, and people let them. And a lot of those people let them say, oh, God is so good. God is so wonderful. God is, what will we do? And I was like, what will I think? What will I think when I'm afraid? My main prayer at all times anymore when I'm in confusion is, Spirit, tell me what to think about this so that I don't make up anything that's not true. So that I don't have to scare myself today. So that I don't have to scare my friends today. I don't have to go to a dinner party tonight and talk about the sorry state of the world. I can talk about love as a reality. I can talk about peace and joy as a reality and not be preachy about it. But just, I've asked some of my friends, have you considered thinking differently about it? About whatever you're afraid of today. And some say yes, some say, oh, I can't. How come? Because such and such is doing this. Uh-huh, and now one friend, she's very attached to the news. And I kind of under, with her childhood, I understand why. It's one more time she's being beaten up in life. She was very beaten up as a child, physically, emotionally, and many of us have been. And and she doesn't yet know she could look at it differently and shift it. She hasn't been to Unity. I came to Unity and found out that I could have the past that I had and still come to terms that I am both loved and lovable. Because I had an abusive past, an abused past. And then I went from what they did to me to what I did to me for a long time. And then I saw, oh, but that's okay. Because in God, I am good. Capital G, good. I don't know why I'm pointing there. Doesn't say it. In God, I am good. And then I looked around me. And this good I talk about has nothing to do with how I behave. And it has nothing to do with how I feel. It's my I am-ness. And so then I looked at the person to left and right, and I wrote, oh, in God, they are good. In God, they are good. And then I thought, okay, what about the people I'm afraid of or I don't like? You know, because they have always confused me. As I've said before, isn't it confusing that people you don't like have friends? And so, but to look and think about them, and I thought, oh, but in God, they are good. Has nothing to do with behaviors. It has to do with I am-ness. The truth, the reality of my being. We are all good, the reality of all our being. We are inherently good. And so if you start to think the world is bad, or the weather is bad, or that is bad, or you yourself are somehow bad, I really invite you to rethink that thought. And say, wait a minute, Sean says in God, we are all good. Do I not believe in God of any kind? I mean, we all have a different God. Let's face it, we're making it up. But I like my God, and I believe my God likes me and is on my side 100% of the time. So if my God is on my side 100% of the time, well, then how can it not be good when it's raining? How can it not be good when someone is confused? And will I confuse myself again over that? I hope not. I hope not. I hope I hear this talk this morning. I hope it's sinking into my cells, that every little cell of my body may be healthy and free because I say yes, because that could be the reality of my being. And now we move into Advent. Christ in me is awake. The Christ in me is awake now. And to think about that, one of my favorite little joy songs is, I'm alive, alert, awake, enthusiastic. I'm alive, alert, awake, enthusiastic. You didn't know you were going to get this, Danny. You know, that's a lot. I'm alive, alert, awake. I'm alert, awake, alive. I'm alive, alert, awake, enthusiastic. It's a great little prayer that can have big results. Let me sing it for you again. I'm alive, alert, awake, enthusiastic. I'm alive, alert, awake, enthusiastic. I'm alive, alert, awake. I'm alert, awake, alive. I'm alive, alert, awake, enthusiastic. We have to do it together, then I'll get it right. Ready? One, two, three. I'm alive, alert, awake, enthusiastic. I'm alive, alert, awake, enthusiastic. I'm alive, alert, awake. I'm alert, awake, alive. I'm alive, alert, awake, enthusiastic. Bum, bum. And so, today, and each day following, remember, I'm waking up just in time for love. I'm waking up just in time for peace and joy. I'm waking up just in time to remember who I am. So I want to bring Marie Ann back up here to sing David's song. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Sean. That was wonderful. Screwing up the lyrics. Okay. And the holidays were something to get through. But the thing I hadn't counted on was you. Just in time for Christmas, you came along. Just in time for Christmas, when everything felt wrong, and I was sure my faith had all run out. Just in time for Christmas, you showed me what Christmas is about. What I needed most could not be bought. More to disillusioned than to see. I was going through the motions, made a list and checked it twice, and forgot to write down anything for me. But my long unspoken wishes had been heard, and a beautiful miracle was heard. Time for Christmas, one silent night. Just in time for Christmas, you filled my life with light. And there was joy where there had once been doubt. Just in time for Christmas, you showed me what Christmas is about.